This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've joined us. We trust the program will encourage you and will bless you. Now, if you would like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and my website address at the close of the program. You can contact me either way. We're happy to take prayer requests, and the website does include this program. It can be re-listened to there. It can also be downloaded and transferred to others. And there are weekly meditations and other information on that website that you might find helpful. So I'll give you the mailing address and website address at the close of the program. Now, we're working through the miracles of the Lord Jesus, and the reason we're doing that is because Romans 10 and verse 17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And by working through the Old Testament prophecies of the Lord that were fulfilled in the New Testament, we not only learn something about the character of the Lord, but we had reason to believe that the Bible was, in fact, what it claims to be, the very Word of God, divinely inspired. And we also found out that we then could be like the Lord Jesus and grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. But we're also going to look at the miracles of the Lord Jesus, because these miracles confirm the fact that Jesus, in fact, was the Son of God. And I shouldn't say that he was the Son of God, because he's been raised from the dead. He is the Son of God. Now, as we look at the miracles, there are many people who would like to believe that the miracles never occurred. And I believe they did. There's some who would say, well, that story in the Old Testament about Jonah being swallowed by a whale, that has spiritual significance and it's allegorical, but it never really happened. Well, I beg to differ with you. I think it really happened, and I'm kind of like some who have said that if the story said that Jonah swallowed the whale instead of the whale swallowing Jonah, I would believe that as well. God can do miracles, and God does do miracles. The fact that we're here on planet Earth is a miracle, just because it's something we experience every day, and because it has become commonplace to us to see the sun come up every morning. I realize that the sun really doesn't come up. It just appears that way to us, and that's the way we find it described in the Bible. But just because the sun comes up every morning doesn't mean that it's not a miracle. Even the writer in Lamentation could say, "Thy compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." And so the fact that we woke up this morning was the faithfulness of God. The fact that we take another breath is the faithfulness of God. The fact that our hearts beat is the faithfulness of God. And these things are all miracles. These miracles actually did occur. The problem we have is that we generally don't see extraordinary miracles in our day. And so we assume that because we don't see unusual or extraordinary miracles in our day, that the ones that are written in the Bible didn't occur either, but they did. And the reason they occurred was because the Lord was here, and as the Son of God, he had power to do the miracles, to change water to wine, to cast out demons, to heal those that were sick. He had power to do all of that, and he did that to show that he was the Son of God. Now, keep in mind that there are many people today who claim to be miracle healers. And while I believe the Lord still heals miraculously from time to time in connection with our prayers and in connection with our confession of sin, as it says in the book of James, while I believe that the Lord does that, no man today is the Son of God in the sense of being a part of the Trinity. We are not gods. And so as a result of not being divine, we do not have the power that the Lord had. Even though the early apostles did demonstrate this power, because they had been commissioned to prove to the world that the message of the gospel was in fact true. So when the Lord was here, he did miracles to prove he was the Son of God. And the early apostles did miracles because the Bible wasn't written down yet, and they had to prove that their message was in fact the message of God. But now, if you're going to do a miracle would have to prove that the Bible is in fact divinely inspired, and the message and the miracle would not be associated with authenticating a person, but it would be associated with authenticating or making the gospel clear and believable. It would be associated with the truth of Scripture. And so as we begin to look at miracles, we can see that they are here for a purpose. Common miracles are occurring every time a baby is born, every time we go to a doctor and the doctor heals us. Common miracles occur. Unusual miracles that prove that we have special ability are not occurring today, in my opinion. Now, they may occur again in the future, but right now, I do not believe we're in a period when miracles occur. I think 1 Corinthians 13 makes it clear that most of these miraculous signs that prove that the Lord was the Son of God and that prove that the early apostles had the message of God, I believe those things have passed away. But what has not passed away is faith, hope, and charity. Now, I want to read from Matthew chapter 8 and verse 14 for our next miracle. We've looked at three of them, and I'm going to look at two this morning that occur together. Matthew 8 verse 14 says, "Now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. So he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and served them. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and healed all who were sick." Notice, he healed all who were sick, "that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, 'He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses.'" Now, I'm going to read that from Isaiah 53, because the way it's quoted in the New Testament is a little different than the way it's quoted in the Old Testament, and the difference has to do with the fact that the New Testament is a Greek translation of the Septuagint, we have the English translation of the Septuagint, which was a Greek translation of the Hebrew from the Old Testament. Isaiah 53 and verse 4 says, "Surely he has borne our griefs," and that word griefs has to do with our infirmities, "and carried our sorrows." And in terms of the New Testament translation of that, that would be the word for sicknesses. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." That is, we are made whole. That's what the word healed means. Now, it's true that these things literally occurred, but they literally occurred to teach us spiritual lessons. And as far as I'm concerned, when we come to Isaiah 53, there's a coming day when the Lord will be present again in his millennial kingdom and will physically be able to do, perhaps himself personally or through those he commissions, he will personally be able to heal diseases again. We find out that disease is going to be pretty much a thing of the past during the millennial reign. Children are going to be considered young at 100 years, and there it appears that many people are going to live through the millennium, but sin will be judged immediately. And so there won't be the sicknesses that we have now, and any sickness that does occur, if it does occur, I would think would be able to be healed. But right now, we're not living in the millennium. We are not living in a day when people are restrained from sin. And what we find out is that when sin came into the world, sickness came into the world, sorrow came into the world. And so when the Lord died at the cross, he not only died for us to put away our sins in a spiritual sense and make us fit for heaven, in any sense that we are made whole and kept healthy down here, it's because of, in my opinion, it's because of the work of the cross. He was able to meet all the needs of the human nature through his death at the cross. And sin does have consequences. And so those consequences are seen in the New Testament. And the Lord came and showed that he could overcome the consequences of sin, but it would all be in view of the fact that he would die not only to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, but to put away the effects of sin where people trust him. And while we know that we still die, there are still problems with illnesses and sicknesses, I think we fail to understand that when we are sick, the first thing we should do is come to the Lord for healing and let him guide us as to the decisions we make. We need to have confidence first in the Lord, and the Lord may use a doctor to heal us. He may use a diet to heal us, and he may not heal us. He may take us to heaven, and that may be how we'll be healed. But in the case of Peter's wife's mother, she had a purpose yet on this earth, and so the Lord touched her and healed her. And that's what people don't understand, is that it's the faith that we have in the Lord that heals. David could say in the Old Testament, Psalm 103, I think it is, that he healeth all my diseases. Well, the Lord doesn't heal everybody's diseases. He doesn't heal all diseases. But every disease that is healed, he's the one who does the healing. If you had a cold, if you had some kind of infirmity, and you were able to be healed from that, you need to give the Lord credit for giving your body the power to overcome that problem. And you need to remember that the Lord himself has given the doctor the ability to help you. So he says he healeth all our diseases, and all our diseases that are healed are ultimately healed because of the Lord and because of the cross. But the disease that really needs to be healed is the disease of sin and unbelief. We have all, as it says in Isaiah 53, we have all gone astray. But verse 5 says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. And while we may not have a physical healing, we will, if we trust the Lord, have a spiritual healing. We will be made whole, and ultimately we will be healed, because we'll have a new body in heaven when we go to be with the Lord, when we cross over to the other side, whether it be by the catching away of the saints before the tribulation period, or whether it be by death. We have a future to look forward to that will be free of sickness. Now, I hope you have been touched by the Lord Jesus. Now, our Heavenly Father, we just pray for thy blessing upon those who have listened. We thank thee for thy love and for thy salvation. We just pray that this program will be a blessing to many as we commit ourselves to thee in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our address, our mailing address, is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com, and we do thank you for listening.